let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that this message of joy will lighten the hearts of everyone here, that everyone will go forward in this week with more joy and will glorify you with that joy. Amen. All right, so as Paul mentioned, this is the first sermon in our new series about joy. And so unlike, I think, most other sermons, which are all about how to deal with grief, how to, you know, sacrifice more for God, you know, it tends to be challenge, 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 but God will have the victory. And so we often will talk about stuff that isn't necessarily easy. So if you've been to any of my previous sermons, you could sum them up by saying, challenge, 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 God, challenge, challenge, God has the victory, like money, etc. But this week, or this series, is about joy, and about how joy isn't something that we've tacked on to Christianity to make it bearable. Joy is actually a real, tangible part of Christianity. Now, unlike most of my other sermons, last week Paul just said, hey, can you do a sermon on joy next week? And so that's what I've done. But usually I get given a Bible passage. So what I did was I just Googled Bible verses joy, and I got all the Bible verses that use the word joy or joyous. And I found that in the Bible there are 242 references to joy. And I got a bit curious at that point, and so I Googled suffering, and I got 72 Bible passages. Punishment got 61, pain got 62, trials got 8, and love got 686. Now, conventional wisdom would suggest that what someone talks about more is sort of where their heart is. So if someone's always talking about their favourite sports team, you can probably get that they probably care a lot about sport. So for God to be talking in Scripture so much about joy and love in comparison to suffering, punishment, pain and trials, I think that would suggest to us that maybe God has a bit of a soft spot for joy, and that joy is actually a part of being a Christian. It's not just some thing that we use to deal with it. So today I'm going to talk generally about joy, briefly, and then I'm going to go into a specific area of the joy of Christian living, because over the next few weeks both Paul and John will talk about different elements. So get excited, it should be a really good series. But first off, if we were to read Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 15, it says, so I commend the enjoyment of life. There is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat, drink, and be glad. Then joy will accompany them in their toil all the days of the life God has given them under the sun. So, the first point is, joy is commendable. It's not just something nice that you can put in your back pocket. It actually says in Scripture that joy is something to be commended for. Now, note, it doesn't say that there won't be toil. It says you will have joy in your toil. So it's hard, life is hard, but there is real joy to have in it, and you'll have joy from God. So joy is commendable. That's the first point. The second point, we can, if we were to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. So, joy is a gift. Now, if you're not familiar with the terminology, the fruit of the Spirit is basically attributes that we get from a strong relationship with God. You know, if you spend a lot of time with someone, you tend to pick up their traits, you tend to act a little bit more like them. You can understand the fruits of the Spirit in a similar sort of way, that a strong relationship with God, when you're talking to him, you're reading about him, you're finding out about him, you'll start seeing these attributes of God coming out in your own life. Now, we all know that you're not going to be happy all the time. Joy, like there'll be times in your life where you won't be joyous. And that doesn't mean that you haven't got a strong relationship with God. But what we're told is that joy is a gift. So that's the two general things. Joy is commendable, joy is a gift. So therefore, joy is an actual part of Christianity. And it's something that we should, you know, enjoy having, and something that we shouldn't avoid. But what's the specific area that we're going to be looking at this morning? Now, there's a lot of areas of Christian living that are joyful. There are a myriad of different things, so it was actually hard to pick one particular area. But what I've picked is finding your place. So if we were to read just verse 28 of Acts chapter 2, we read, "You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." So what do I mean by path? Basically, God has created each and every one of us. He gave us our personalities, he gave us our likes, our dislikes. And so it makes sense that within God's kingdom, there are areas of his good work that we would naturally fit. Like, there would just be a good fit that would enjoy doing them. And maybe if that's not really a clear explanation, I'll use an example from my own life being that I derive joy from being a youth leader. And this might surprise some of you because they're not always the easiest. But the thing is that despite the fact that youth are not always the easiest ministry to work in, often it's stressful, it's tiring, they won't listen, the joy I feel from it is real and is tangible and far outweighs the bad. Just a few examples is from my old youth group, which I led for about 5 years. So I led them from when they were hyperactive teenagers to when they were moody adolescents that didn't care about anything and were being inappropriate with each other. That's a large gamut of issues that I had to deal with within that youth group. But all of those issues would be worth it when one of the youth would put up their hand to say they're a Christian. We didn't know they were a Christian. They were just like, "Oh yeah, I became a Christian last month. Maybe I should have told you. I don't know, I was texting." And they just said it like an off-the-cuff comment, but it means a lot to us. Explaining, you know, forgiveness to a kid, and then they're just going, "Wait, you mean everything I've done wrong?" And you're like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Really? Yeah. Awesome." And like all of a sudden, like forgiveness just clicks for them and all that sort of stuff. Just this year, in this youth group, which again, you know, not the easiest to kids to always deal with. I've been kicked in the shins more time than I care to admit, but it's worth it. So one case was the billy carts. Now I can honestly tell you that I hate those billy carts. I want to burn those billy carts to ash and then throw the ashes into the sea. The whole process of those billy carts was harder than it should have been. I had to build the billy carts, trying to get the kids involved in the construction just was difficult. They were getting bored. There wasn't enough drills for them to use, so a lot of them were just sitting there. And just everything about it just took longer and was more stressful than it needed to be. The kids, when they were painting, spray painted his own clothes, his nice free dress clothes. And so I was worried that the parents would do, like, and it was just hassle after hassle after hassle, and I hate those things. But when we went to Parliament Street Park, and the kids are spending the whole afternoon just going up and down the hill, like, we had all these games planned, but they weren't interested in the games, they just wanted to go up and down the hill. And they're joking with one another, they're rolling off the billy carts and laughing, and then running back up and pulling them and all that sort of stuff. Worth it. I can honestly tell you that all the trials that I felt while building those billy carts, while dealing with those billy carts, all became worth it. And so that's what we get when we find our path, when we find our niche of Christianity. To really drive home this point, so perhaps a more impressive case would be Paul in the Bible, not this Paul. And so we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3 to 4, "I do not say this to condemn you. I've said before that you have such a place in our hearts that we would live or die with you. I have spoken to you with great frankness. I take great pride in you. I'm greatly encouraged in all our troubles. My joy knows no bounds." Now, if there's someone who's found their niche, found their path in Christianity, it's Paul. If there's someone who deserves or could understandably not take particular joy from said path, it would be Paul. He is getting persecuted. He is getting thrown in prison. And on a good day, he's dealing with churches that just don't quite get it. All the letters, the reason why we know so much about how to run churches, how to live as Christians, is because Paul's telling people that don't what to do. Stop doing that. Why are you doing this? You know, stop the false teachers. Like, he would be pulling his hair out saying, why don't these guys get it? And yet he's saying, my joy knows no bounds. So, finding your path is real. Finding that area of Christianity that just seems to mesh with your personality is real. And despite all the hassles, despite all the trials that you might suffer through that, it's worth it. Now, what could those paths potentially be? I want to say anything good. So that includes being a mum, a dad, a good son, good daughter, good friend, being the sort of person that says the kind word to someone that looks upset, or maybe just a random compliment. Someone who can organise, someone who can read their Bible really well, someone who can pray for people, someone who can bake cookies. All of these things are good, and if they bring you joy, then that's good. That's a commendable trait, and that's a gift. But the last point is the challenge, because you thought that you could get away with not being challenged this morning. But I promise you that this challenge is a little bit different. So we can read in John chapter 5, verse 10 to 12. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So, it's a command from Jesus. When you do good things, when you follow his commands, your joy is complete because his joy is complete. When you do something for God and you feel a sense of joy, you can use that as a barometer of, well, maybe I should be doing this more often. Maybe this is the sort of thing that God actually wants me to be doing. So that's the challenge. If you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, I just really love baking cookies for church. I really love just rocking up to church with a plate full of cookies and just saying, here you go, eat. I will happily do that. Just saying, if you want to make cookies for church, I will happily eat those cookies. But if you have something like that, and it might not be baking cookies, it might just be giving compliments to people, this morning I want to say, do that more. Because if you're doing it for the glory of God and you're getting joy, then that's because God is happy with that. God is full of joy when you do that. So do it more often. There could be worse challenges than that, couldn't there? Basically, find the thing that is good and gives you joy. Do it more often. And now maybe you are sitting there this morning and you're just thinking, well, I see a lot of nodding heads and I'm just thinking, but I don't have an area. Just I'm a Christian because I believe in God, but I just don't have that joy. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10, each heart knows its own bitterness and no one else can share its joy. No one can tell you what will bring your heart joy. No one can say that. No, I can offer you an endless list of suggestions about what could potentially bring you joy, such as youth leading, and if anyone's interested, then please talk to me after the service. But, you know, I could list endlessly all these different ways that you could get joy, but the reality is only you know yourself. Only you know your heart. But if this morning you don't have that area yet, I want to say that that's not because you're a bad person and because God just doesn't love you. It's just because you haven't found it yet. So my challenge to you this morning is start exploring. God has designed you in such a way that there is an aspect of his kingdom, just a small niche, that when you find it, you'll just be like, it's like I was made for it. Now, does that excuse us from doing stuff that we might not necessarily like? No. I don't particularly like every aspect of being Christian. Parish counts, for example. I'm not a huge fan. But I understand the point of it. I understand the need for it. And there are some people that really find joy from that. And so they should do it more. I say that with full, knowing full well that even if everyone in the church joined Parish Council, I would still have to turn up, so it wouldn't help me. But what I want to say this morning is that if you haven't found your niche, find it. It's out there. God wants you to find it. And if you have found it, do it more often. Take some other stuff from your life. Don't do your tax. Do it instead. Like, remove some of the other worldly stuff that we add into our life and replace it with something that brings you good and godly joy, because it's commendable and it's a gift from God. I don't think I can say anything more. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that everyone here today will find their path if they haven't found it. I pray that they will experience the good and godly joy that comes from serving you, and that from that joy they will do it more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.